Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 10, Texts 101 through 103. 103 has the purport, so I will read 101 and 102 myself, and then we will chant 103 together. 101. Srila Prabhupada's translation. Sri Raghunath Das Goswami took 3 baths daily in the Radhakund lake. As soon as he found a Vaishnava residing in Vrindavan, he would embrace him and give him all respect. He engaged himself in devotional service for more than 22.5 hours a day. And for less than 2 hours, he slept, although on some days that also was not possible. Text 103. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. I am struck with wonder when I hear about the devotional service he executed. I accept Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami as my guides. Purport. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami accepted Raghunath Das Goswami as his special guide. Therefore, at the end of every chapter, he says, Sri Rupa Raghunath Pade Jar Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. Sometimes it is misunderstood that by using the word Raghunath, he wanted to offer his respectful obeisances to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. For it is sometimes stated that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was his initiator, spiritual master. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami does not approve of this statement. He does not accept Raghunath Bhatta Goswami as the spiritual master of Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagandaragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagandalalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda In this 10th chapter of the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has been describing the different branches of that transcendental tree called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he has come now to the point of describing Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. In the previous several verses, we have heard the glories of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. And yesterday also, we heard from His Grace Tattvavit Prabhu about the extreme renunciation of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. And that these pastimes of renunciation are for inspiration for us. They are factual, certainly, but they are inspirational, but not something that can be imitated, because we would certainly die if we tried that. But we get the principle of it. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's example as an ideal renunciant was very pleasing to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was a very strict renunciant himself, and he appreciated this quality of renunciation amongst his followers as well. Mahaprabhu bhakta gane vairagya pradhan yahan dekhi priti hona gaura bhagavan. Kaviraj Goswami says that when Mahaprabhu saw the spirit of renunciation that was the predominant quality of the devotees, of his own devotees, then he was very pleased. This verse is quoted in connection with Raghunath Das Goswami's renunciation. Kaviraj Goswami describes that when Raghunath Das Goswami first came to Puri, he accepted the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Mahaprasadam for the first 5 days or so. And after that, he didn't come there again. Govinda, the personal servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would keep aside some Mahaprasadam remnants and give it to Raghunath. But after a few days, Raghunath decided, no, that's not right. So I should go and take prasadam from, I should beg prasadam at the gate of the Jagannath temple. There are different ways by which renunciants take prasadam. Some go and beg alms in charity for the booths or the stalls that distribute the prasadam, Mahaprasadam of Jagannath. Others simply wait at the gate, and if there are some pious Vaishnavas who happen to come out of the temple and they see a mendicant, they might then go and purchase some Mahaprasadam for them and feed them. And after a while, Raghunath Das Goswami stopped even that, and he would just go and take the remnants of what was left over by the cows. Now that was very, very extreme. He would wash that and then take a few grains. In any case, when Raghunath Das Goswami ceased taking his own Mahaprasadam and went to the gateway of the Jagannath temple, Mahaprabhu was very pleased. And he said how it was important for a renunciant and for a devotee especially to control the tongue. Jivhara lalase ji iti uti dhai shishnodara parayana krishna nahi pai. If there is somebody who is trying to be a renunciant but he cannot control his tongue, then it will be very difficult for him to maintain the life of renunciation. If out of the desire to eat palatable dishes he runs here and there, iti uti dhai, then Shishna Udara Parayana, he will be a servant of his belly and genitals and will not be able to lead a life of renunciation. So in that connection, Kaviraj Goswami mentions this verse about how Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see the spirit of renunciation amongst his followers. Raghunath Das Goswami was very young when he came to the association of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu handed him over to Swarup Damodar Goswami as his mentor or as his Shiksha Guru. And he said, henceforward, you will take all good instruction from Swarup Damodar. So every time that Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to directly ask Mahaprabhu some questions, he would direct him to Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar Goswami, of course, would also give good instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami. But sometimes, Raghunath Das Goswami wanted to personally get some instructions from the lotus mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would, as a matter of custom, out of shyness and out of etiquette, not ask Mahaprabhu anything directly. If he had any questions, he would place them to either Govinda, the personal servant of Mahaprabhu, or to Swarup Damodar, who was his very intimate associate. And then he would get his answers. Sometimes, however, he would want to directly ask. He wanted something personally from the lotus mouth of Mahaprabhu. So now, this time when he wanted to get some instructions personally, then Swarup Damodar came to Mahaprabhu and said that Raghunath is asking you for some personal instructions. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, they tell him that I have already handed him over to you, and whatever instructions you give to him are sufficient, but nevertheless, if he still wants some instructions, if he has faith in my words, then this is what I have to say. Gramme kathana kohibe, gramme vartha na shunibe, bhalana khaibe ar bhalana poribe, amani manadena hona, sada krishna naam loibe, vraje radha krishna seva manase koribe. These are my instructions, he said. So what are the instructions? First of all, Mahaprabhu's instructions to Raghunath Das Goswami were, gramme katha na shunibe. Gramme katha means, literally gram means the village. So gramme katha means village talks. You know, in India, in villages, normally people gather together and gossip. So gossip is a very favorite pastime all over the world, as you know. People like to get together and gossip. Nothing very substantial that they talk about. So he said, and it's all mundane talk. There's nothing Krishna conscious about it, nothing really beneficial. So he said, don't get involved. Don't hear any mundane talk. Gramme katha na shunibe. And gramme varta na kohibe. Also don't speak anything mundane. Don't hear and don't speak anything mundane. Bhalana khaibe. Don't simply eat sumptuous dishes. Don't eat palatable foodstuffs. Don't run here and there just to taste delicious foodstuffs. Bhalana poribe. Don't wear all sorts of luxurious or expensive or fashionable clothing. Wear simple clothing. Amani manadena hona. Amani manada hona. Become amani. That means don't expect any respect for yourself. Manada, always be eager to give respect to others. In this state, always chant the Krishna Naam, the holy names of Krishna. Vraje Radha Krishna Seva Manase Koribe. And living in Vraja, within your mind, you should always serve Radha and Krishna. And he said, now you tell Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath, these are the instructions for you. My direct personal instructions to you. And then he quoted his famous Trinadapi Sunichena verse. Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishtuna Amani Namani Dena Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. And he said, these are my instructions to you. Raghunath Das Goswami took these instructions to heart. And he followed them meticulously, scrupulously, and he lived a life of extreme renunciation and devotion. The highlight of Raghunath's renunciation, however, is not merely that he undertook or underwent so many physical austerities. That, of course, is extraordinary in and of itself. But the chief feature of renunciation of a devotee is the devotion, the spirit of devotion in which that austerity is done. It is not done for the sake of acquiring name and fame as a very austere person, as a very renounced person. But it is meant to enhance one's devotional spirit. So Raghunath Das Goswami was not only a great renunciant, he was also a great scholar and, above all, a great devotee of Radha and Krishna. Of course, he was an eternal associate of Radha and Krishna. The Gauda Ganodesh Deepika mentions him as Rasa Manjari or Rati Manjari or Bhanumati. I mean, these are the different opinions given in the Gauda Ganodesha Deepika. So he is in his Krishna Leela, in his constitutional position in Goloka, he is a Manjari. So naturally for him to be able to perform these austerities is not very astonishing. So Raghunath Das Goswami stayed in Puri, and after the departure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar, he could not bear to live in Puri anymore. So he decided to go to Vrindavan, to Govardhan, and then jump off Govardhan Hill and commit suicide. Srila Prabhupada recommends that this was some sort of an acknowledged method of doing it amongst Vaishnavas. Not just out of frustration because of material reasons, but out of spiritual separation. Again, not something we can ever try to imitate from anywhere. Not just Govardhan, of course, we don't step on, but from anywhere. Now, these things have to be doubly mentioned. In the olden days, some such system of transcendental suicide was permitted, but never in the modern days. Srila Prabhupada very, very strongly cautioned devotees not to do such things. In any case, so he went there with that intention. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami very lovingly brought him into their fold and said, "You live here like our third brother. Forget this idea of committing suicide." Now, Raghunath Das Goswami was very special for many reasons, and Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and the other Goswamis at Vrindavan especially wanted to hear from Raghunath Das Goswami. Why so? Because he had lived in the personal association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri for several years. And not only that, Raghunath Das Goswami was a Shiksha disciple of Swarup Damodar, who, being an intimate associate of Mahaprabhu for many years, knew of so many of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And he had systematically chronicled them. He had recorded them in his notes called Karchas. They were in the Sanskrit language. And Swarup Damodar had made Raghunath Das Goswami memorize those notes. So Raghunath Das Goswami knew so many pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. So when he came there, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami told him, "Raghunath, you stay here. And you every day speak on the pastimes of Mahaprabhu in Puri," which he did. So even Rupa and Sanatan, who were his seniors, would come and hear from him. And amongst the distinguished members of the audience, the Vaishnavas there, was also Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And he used to every day hear these pastimes. At one place I heard from somebody, although I haven't heard references, that every day he would speak for 3 hours in the evening at Radha Kund. and Kaviraj Goswami would go and listen to him. And that is why he got all the information that he needed to then compile the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So anyway, Raghunath Das Goswami spent many years there at Radhakund. He lived a very long life. And he was known for his extreme renunciation and his devotion. He used to be completely absorbed in his bhajan, in his meditation on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and in chanting the holy names. We've seen here in these verses that Raghunath Das Goswami took 3 baths every day in the Radhakund lake. And as soon as he found a Vaishnava residing in Vrindavan, he would embrace him and give him all respect. So these are some lessons for us. Even though we don't have Radhakund here to take bath, but we can at least take bath. If not thrice a day, at least twice a day. We can take a bath. It's an important regulative principle for devotees to regularly take bath. And then we can imagine, we can in our mind contemplate that we are taking bath in Radhakund. Why not? No difficulty in doing that. That's also devotional service. Mentally we can think of ourselves in Braja. This was in fact Rupa Goswami's instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami. Since the verse for today has both Rupa and Raghunath being mentioned here, and the relationship between the two is also discussed, in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami has said, Tannam Rupa Charitadi Sukirtananu Smritya Krameena Rasana Manasi Niyojya Tishthan Vrajetad Anurag Jananugami Kalam Naye Dakhilamityupadesha Saram. He says one should reside in Vraja, Tishthan Vraje. This is the instruction for everybody. Tishthan Vraje Tad Anuragi Jananugami. Anugami means to be a follower. Anu means to be behind, gami means to go. So one must be a follower. Tad Anuragi. One who is an Anuragi Bhakta, one who has raga, one who has intense attachment for Krishna. And one should become the follower of such an eternal resident of Vrindavan. One should live in Vrindavan and become a follower of such an eternal resident of Vrindavan. And what should one do? Tan, that means for Krishna, Naam, Roop, Charita, Adi. The name, the form, the pastimes, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. What should one do? Sukirtananu smrityoho. One should constantly hear about smrityoho krameena and then gradually try to cultivate remembrance. Manasi niyojya. By one's mind and also by one's tongue one should chant. And how long should one do this? Kalam nayed akhilam. All the time. 24 hours a day we should try to do this. Iti upadesha saram. This is the essence of all good instruction. So in the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami has given this advice to everybody. And Raghunath Das Goswami, of course, was following that to the T in the best possible way. Now, Tishthan Vrijya, living in Vrindavan, has been explained by the Acharyas to mean not necessarily only living physically in Vrindavan. Maybe for some people that is recommended, and if that's the instruction they have from their spiritual master, then that's very well. But one should not go and live whimsically in Vrindavan and then perform sinful activities over there, or just while away time, or go there merely to socialize, or even to enjoy Vrindavan in a spiritual way. Vrindavan is meant to be a place of seva. We go there in a spirit of serving. And if one is not in that mood of strong sadhana and strong service, then one should not go to Vrindavan. And one should take blessings before one goes. Not that whimsically one just goes anytime one likes and comes back. It is a very serious business residing in Vrindavan. And for those who are not able to go to Vrindavan or have been asked specifically to not go to Vrindavan, then one should reside in whatever place that one lives in, and in one's mind one should live in Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu has said, Mora mana Vrindavana. My mind is Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada also explains that if one is thinking of Krishna, then one is automatically in Vrindavan. So it doesn't matter that we are in London. In consciousness, we need not be away from Vrindavan. Because apart from being a physical geographical place, Vrindavan is also a state of consciousness. And therefore, living here in London, one can well be situated in Vrindavan if one thinks about Krishna. So therefore, one should cultivate this habit of remembering, hearing about, chanting about the glories of Krishna, remembering his pastimes, and so on. So similarly, when you're taking bath, you can imagine you're taking bath in Radha Kund. Why not? No harm. And one can imagine, not in a whimsical way, not in a kind of a casual way, but in a serious way. One should try to reflect on the deities, even here in the temple, or the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. In this way, one should cultivate this internal spirit of attachment to Krishna, which is actually the heart of renunciation. The heart of real renunciation is cultivating attachment to Krishna. In other words, detachment from matter means attachment to Krishna. And that is how one should conduct one's life as a devotee. And Kaviraj Goswami mentions that whenever he found a Vaishnava residing there, he would joyfully embrace him and give him all respect. This is another principle of Vaishnava dealings and lifestyle. We should feel, or at least try to feel, happy when we see another Vaishnava. Not that we think, oh, here comes so-and-so. Oh, maybe I should look the other way or walk the other way. Maybe I've had some disagreement with this Vaishnava and then... So even if one feels a spirit of rancor or some kind of bitterness towards somebody, one has to use one's spiritual intelligence to try to overcome it. It's very important. Because this will become a hindrance in our japa and in our meditation. So it is natural, as a result of dealings in this world, that there will be a little this and a little that between people. And Srila Prabhupada also in the Krishna Balaram Temple Prasadam Hall, there's a huge poster with a quote of Prabhupada and his picture. I don't remember the exact quote, but it's something to the effect that when you live amongst people, there's always going to be some misunderstanding with somebody. But we should not take these little things seriously. We should forgive and forget, and we should adjust things and move on. So living in the society of devotees, these things happen. So one should not let things remain. Even if there is a cause of bitterness between devotees, we should not let that bitterness remain in the heart. By spiritual intelligence, by the process of hearing and chanting, we should try to wash away that bitterness. Or that little obstruction that comes in the way of our Krishna conscious progress. So we should joyfully see Vaishnavas and try to be friendly with them. And being friendly with Vaishnavas means to keep Krishna in the center. And then Kaviraj Goswami explains that Raghunath Das Goswami did devotional service for 22 hours and a half hours a day. And then for the remaining time he slept, and sometimes he couldn't even do that. That's extraordinary. It's quite the reverse for us, isn't it? We do our chanting for 1.5 to 2 hours every day, and our devotional service takes up 2 to 2.5 hours every day. And then for the rest of the day, we do other things. And sometimes he didn't even find time to sleep. So sometimes we also don't find time to chant, or we don't find time to hear. So Raghunath Das Goswami's example is an extreme example. But it's meant for purposes of inspiration. Even Kaviraj Goswami, he who is no ordinary devotee himself, says, Tahara sadhana riti shunite chamatkar. Just by hearing about the devotional service executed by Raghunath Das Goswami, I am struck with wonder. Kaviraj Goswami was also a great renunciant and a devotee. But even he says, I am struck with wonder to see the example of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami lived in Radhakund for a long time. And once when he was sitting on the bank of the Radhakund, he was looking at the ponds. They were just ponds at that time, really. When Mahaprabhu had come to Vrindavan, he had identified the two lakes, Radhakund and Shyamakund. Before that, nobody knew where they were. Even the local residents there didn't quite understand. They would call it Garokund and Gorokund, you know, in the sense that this is the... They didn't know what it was. There was a rice, the paddy field, and there was some water there. But when Mahaprabhu first came there, he understood this was Radhakund and Shyamakund. And in great ecstasy, he plunged into the waters and he took bath over there. And the villagers were surprised to see this. And then Mahaprabhu informed the Vaishnavas that these are the two holiest of holy places in the entire creation. So Raghunath Das Goswami would come and do his chanting and be absorbed in meditation on the banks of the Radhakund. Then one day when he was looking at the Radhakund, he felt, I think it should be excavated properly. You know, it doesn't look very good. There should be proper steps and there should be stone so that the ghats should be made. They're called ghat. Ghat means a series of stone steps that lead into the pond or the river. But he was thinking how this should be done and so on as he was doing that. And then immediately he began to condemn himself. Oh, I'm chanting but I'm thinking of management and all these things. You know, so no, I should just think this is a distraction to my bhajan. But this desire had come in Raghunath's mind and Krishna recognized it. Yes, this is my devotee's desire. And also, yes, this should be done. So there was this rich businessman who was going to Badrinath. Look, where's Badrinath and where's Vrindavan? Right? But this man was going to Badrinath. He was carrying a lot of wealth with him to donate to Lord Badrinath. And then the Lord appeared to him in his dream and said, don't go to Badrinath, you go to Radhakund. And there is a great saint called Raghunath Das Goswami who is seated there. So you give all this money to him so that the Radhakund may be excavated. So this businessman, he went there and he found Raghunath Das Goswami and gave all this money, and Raghunath Das Goswami was taken aback. He said, what am I going to do with all this money? And he said, well, this is a dream I have and you have to take it. The Lord personally wants this for you. Then Raghunath Das Goswami understood that this was actually the Lord's desire. And in any case, even if we are engaged in tasks of management, because it is meant for Krishna, it's transcendental. Somebody has to do it. If we may want the ecstasy and the pleasure and the comfort of just sitting and reading and hearing and chanting, but all this is made possible because somebody is doing the hard work of seeing that the bills are paid and the bulbs are in order and the mic works and the place is cleaned and so on and so forth. So we are getting the fruit of somebody's austerities, of somebody's hard work. See, for example, here in our movement, we are living we're eating the sweet fruit of the austerities done by the devotees in the early days. So they set up everything for us. They gave it to us on a silver platter. Here we have the Bhaktivedanta manor and nice comfortable place. We come here and we hear and chant and it's all very well. But we also have to remember the sacrifices made by these devotees in the early years because of which this temple is here. The sacrifices made by Prabhupada. And the continuing sacrifices made by so many other devotees down to the current day. And this will have to continue in the future if we want to maintain this transcendental legacy. So in any case, then Raghunath Das Goswami was wondering, how should I go about excavating the Radha Kund? At that time came Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami was not only a great scholar, but he was also an expert manager, apart from being a great devotee. It's very difficult to find people who are all rolled into one, like Srila Prabhupada, being expert in kirtan, being expert in everything in Krishna consciousness. He was an all-round perfect devotee. So Jiva Goswami was also very expert in management. So he came there, and then the task remained about negotiating all the land deals with the local people. You know, land deals are always problematic. And in Vrindavan, ever so. So then Jiva Goswami came and he assisted Raghunath. He took all the headache and said, all right, I'll do all the negotiation with the land deals and all the documentation and the paperwork and everything. And then he did that. And then Raghunath Das Goswami was appointed as the first Mahant, or the first head of the Mutt at Radha Kund. And that seat has continued down to the present day. So then Raghunath Das Goswami had a very, very major contribution to play there at Radha Kund. His samadhi is still there on the banks of the Radha Kund. Sometimes Srila Raghunath Das Goswami would go to Manasi Ganga in Govardhan, where Gopala Bhatta Goswami used to have his bhajan kutir. And he would go there to get his association, sometimes to bathe in the Manasi Ganga, to perform his bhajan over there. One time when Raghunath Das Goswami was seated on the bank of the Manasi Ganga and he was absorbed in his meditation, a tiger came there to drink water. And Raghunath Das Goswami was unmoved as he sat there absorbed in his meditation. Now from a distance, Sanatan Goswami was observing all this and he became worried. Now, the tiger has come so close to Raghunath Das Goswami, and he's unmoved. It's risky here, it's dangerous. So then after the tiger drank and went away, and Raghunath Das Goswami was still not moved at all. So then Sanatan told him, Raghunath, it's time you built yourself a bhajan kutir. You should live in some place, you need some basic protection. Because Raghunath Das Goswami didn't even have a little cottage to stay in. He was just wandering here and there in Braj, sometimes at Radha Kund, sometimes mostly at Radha Kund, sometimes at Manasi Ganga, sometimes doing parikrama and being at other places around Govardhan. Then at the behest of Sanatan Goswami, then Raghunath Das Goswami built himself a small bhajan kutir. Roop and Sanatan Goswami used to often be at Radha Kund. They would also be at different places. One time Rupa Goswami wrote this drama called Lalit Madhav, which talked about Krishna's the feelings of separation of the devotees from Krishna. And that was a very painful thing for Raghunath Das Goswami to read, because these feelings of separation are very difficult to bear. So when the devotees read about these feelings, they feel very unhappy. It's of course also something on the transcendental flat platform. It's also transcendental bliss. But nevertheless, it's something that causes so much pain in the heart to the devotees. So when he read about these pastimes of separation of Krishna from the devotees, Raghunath Das Goswami was in extreme agony. And he even began to wonder how he was still alive. Those pangs of separation and those pangs of agony were extreme. So when Rupa Goswami came and saw what was happening, and this is the result of his having read Lalita Madhav, he became alarmed. But he had to be very intelligent. So he thought, what should I do now to ensure that Raghunath Das Goswami doesn't leave his body? Because the pangs of separation are so strong. Then he thought, okay, the only way that I can get Rupa, Raghunath, away from this is to give him another book that is very full of happy feelings. So then he wrote another book called the Dana Keli Kaumudi, which has a lot of playful pranks and banter and all sorts of pleasant, humorous exchanges between Krishna and the gopis, all about the tax pastimes at Dan Ghati and so on. For those of you who have been to Govardhan, you must have heard about these pastimes of tax collection and everything. So humorous pastimes and exchanges between Krishna and the gopis. So he wrote this book, this drama. And then he gifted this book to Raghunath and took back the Lalit Madhav. That's the only way he could have taken it back. Because Raghunath was very attached to this book. And every day he would read this book. So now he had another alternative. He said, okay, Raghunath, I've written another book. Why don't you read this? Oh, really? Yes, yes, please give it to me. And then when Raghunath read that book, which was full of humorous banter, then he forgot his agony of and feelings of separation. Then he became absorbed in these humorous pastimes of Krishna at Govardhan. So this was the life of the Goswamis in Vrindavan. There's another pastime that is told about him in Bhakti Ratnakar. I was narrating that yesterday also at one program. One time, he fell sick with stomach. He had a stomach upset. And Vitthalnath, who was, I think, the son of Vallabhacharya, was there. And he called a Kaviraj, an Ayurvedic physician, to take a look at Raghunath Das Goswami. And he examined him and, the pulse and everything. He said, oh, he's got indigestion because of eating too much sweet rice. And Vitthalnath said, impossible, because all he drinks is a little bit of whey or, buttermilk. And just in a little cup. And how can you say he's taken so much sweet rice? It's just not possible. Kaviraj said, no, I'm sure my diagnosis is correct. And then Raghunath Das Goswami actually solved the mystery. And he said, actually, I was meditating upon this pastime where I offered this kheer, this sweet rice, to Radha and Krishna. And then I partook of that prasadam in my meditation. So because he actually honored that prasadam in his meditation, physically his body also got that impact. You all heard that story about that Brahmana of Pratishthanpur, yes, as narrated in the Nectar of Devotion. In his meditation, he was offering all kinds of wonderful things to the deities. And when he was heating the milk to make sweet rice, eventually, he wanted to see how hot the milk was, and he touched it, and his finger got burnt in the meditation, and his meditation was broken, and he came to external consciousness and saw that actually his finger was burnt. So that's the transcendental, absolute nature of Krishna consciousness. That what works at the level of the mind or the consciousness also works at the physical level. So anyway, that was something that astonished everybody. And talking about whey or buttermilk, another pastime comes to mind. There was one devotee called Das. He was only known as Das. He lived in Govardhan. And he liked to serve Raghunath Das Goswami. And sometimes he would feel very heartbroken to see Raghunath Das Goswami eating so frugally. He would have a little leaf cup in which he would take some buttermilk. And this devotee Das would wonder, how can anybody maintain his life just by drinking this much of buttermilk in a small little leaf cup every day? Sometimes he doesn't even do that. So he said, let me look for some tree that has a bigger leaf so I can make a bigger leaf cup. So then one time he found a silk cotton tree that had a big leaf. So then, you know, people were expert living in the villages. Even today you see, they just take up, you know, a leaf from a tree, just fold it like that, then take a little twig from there, break it and pin it up like that. There you have a beautiful cup. You don't need to go to Tesco's and everything to buy. You just take a leaf and you got a nice plate, you got a nice cup, everything's available. So anyway, so he got this nice big leaf cup. And then he put some buttermilk in that, which naturally much larger in quantity. And he gave it to Raghunath Das. Please drink this. So, oh, really, that's a magnificent cup. Where did you get such a wonderful leaf cup from? So he said, from a silk cotton tree that was... So where was that? That was at Sakhisthali. Now, Sakhisthali is some distance from Radhakund. As soon as Raghunath Das Goswami heard that, he said, what? Sakhisthali? And he threw that leaf cup down. He said, I will never have this. So Das was shocked. He said, what offense have I done? What's wrong? What has happened? So he was again heartbroken, thinking that Raghunath Das Goswami had rejected his service. And he was even more anxious that he had done some great offense to Raghunath Das Goswami. But you see, Raghunath Das was in his own devotional trance as a manjari. He is Rasa Manjari or Rati Manjari. And these Manjaris are in Radharani's camp. You see, all sorts of transcendental things go on in Goloka Vrindavan. We shouldn't get shocked. But in that plane, these are wonderful pastimes that go on. There are camps. There is Radharani's camp and there is Chandravali's camp. So Chandravali is a rival of Radharani for Krishna's affection. So there is some transcendental envy between them. But a word of caution, it's not like the envy of this world, by the way. So we shouldn't think we can do the same thing amongst other devotees. But it's just to increase the mellow, the transcendental mellow, the sweetness of the Parakya Ras in Goloka Vrindavan. It's all happening by the arrangement of Krishna. So Chandravali is in the opposite camp of Radharani. And Rati Manjari, Rasa Manjari, she is in the camp of Radharani. She is the assistant of Rupa Manjari and the other Manjaris, who are assistants of Lalita and Vishakha, who are the assistants of Radharani. So they are in that camp. And this is the village where Chandravali used to stay, assisted by Padma and Shaibya. And they were in that other rival camp. So in that transcendental mood, in that trance, you know, Raghunath said, how can I take anything from that camp? So, you know, he was in the Manjari Bhav at that time. So he was not speaking as in his Gaura Leela form as Raghunath Das. So eventually then when he explained it to Das, then Das was happy, pacified. He said, okay. Now everything is all right. So these are the nice pastimes that used to go on. Raghunath Das Goswami lived for many, many years over there and eventually departed from this world. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Raghunath Das Goswami's, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's Diksha Guru was not Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, as is sometimes mistakenly understood by some. But Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Shiksha Guru was Raghunath Das Goswami. So we'll stop here. We have a few minutes for questions or comments. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai. Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai. Any questions?